which is found in Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. And we'll read responsively this morning. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you be with our preacher as he preaches this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as in the days of old, we pray, Lord, as your presence and your glory fill the temple, that it will fill this place this morning. And that the preaching of the word would challenge our hearts. Lord, that it will call us unto the place where we need to be with you, Lord Jesus. That our relationship with you will grow and our fellowship with you will strengthen as we hear the word of God preached to us this morning now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. I want to just make mention here this morning. I know there's a lot of illness going around. I just want to ask you to be praying for one another. I know there's a lot of sickness. It just seems like it's just taking people down. And let's just be very thoughtful of our church family. And maybe you've got relatives and people that aren't even part of our church. But we just need to be busy about praying for one another. So just be mindful of that. Title of my message this morning, of course, our text verse is going to be in verse number 17. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The title there is the first four words there, Come ye after me, in that phrase, Come ye after me. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two men. They were two brothers. They were fishermen and were casting a net into the sea, the Bible says here. And I don't know how long, I got thinking, how long was Jesus there? Did he tarry long? Was he watching them for a little while? Were the brothers, did they happen to notice Jesus standing there as they were working? Sometimes I notice when I'm working and doing different things, I don't always notice my surroundings, everything that's going around me. But I got thinking about it a little bit. I don't know how long Jesus was there watching them. Not sure if he stood there for a while as they were toiling, but this day was a day. This day right here, this particular day here in the Bible, was a day for these two brothers that was going to change the whole course of their life. Not only for these two brothers, but for two more brothers that we'll be talking about here in just a moment, it was going to be a day that was going to change the whole course of their life. Jesus spoke these words to them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The Bible says that straightway or immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. There was no hesitation. There was no apprehensiveness. There was no doubt. There was something about that man Jesus course that caused them to stop and give up all and follow him. You know, let me just stop and say this. There's no greater person to follow than Jesus Christ. You know, there's no greater leader that you can have in your life than that of Jesus Christ. You know, when you feel that Holy Spirit tugging at you, maybe under the preaching, or maybe as you're reading your Bible during your private time, and you got that funny feeling in your heart, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit trying to lead you and to guide you. And the truth of the matter is, instead of standing your ground, and instead of kind of standing there and saying, no, follow him. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Follow Jesus, if you will. There's no greater person. You know, I thank God that I follow Jesus in salvation. There's no better place to be than to be a child of God. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, And I trust that you all know, but if you do not know, I hope and I pray that before you leave this place today, that you will know Jesus as your personal Savior. There's no better Savior to follow. The world may go ahead and offer their thrills and their pleasures and their God's little G-O-D, if you will. They may go ahead and offer that, but the truth of the matter is the greatest Savior of all whom you can follow is Jesus. And there was no hesitation in these men. There was no apprehensiveness. There was no doubt. There was just something about Jesus that caused them to stop and give up all and follow him. You know, I've never regretted stopping and following Jesus. You know, I've never regretted, and I've never heard anybody who's saved that says, man, this Christian life, boy, this is a drag. And I've never heard anybody say that. Once you get in, boy, it's a wonderful trip, if you will. It is just a joy of my life to be a Christian. And it's just a joy. And the greatest joy to be, you know, it's just wonderful in having the peace and knowing that eternal life in heaven is ours. You know, it's a free gift. We'll talk about that momentarily. But the Bible says as Jesus passed by, you know, and then the Bible also says that Jesus went a little further and he saw two more brothers. That was James and John, and they were mending their nets. The Bible says that as Jesus passed by, they called unto them, made the same request, if you will, and said, come ye after me. And we see the same scene as the previous two brothers. They left all and they went and they followed the Savior. Again, no hesitation. Again, there was no apprehensiveness. Again, there was no doubt, is this really a sure thing? They just followed by faith. You see, one of the first acts of Jesus was to call, or choose, if you will, 12 men who would assist him in his earthly ministry. You know, these men, they weren't highly educated men. They were not especially wealthy. They were not the movers and shakers of that society. Nothing set them apart from the thousands that live around the Sea of Galilee. Yet the Lord chose these men. You know, and I got thinking, what a privilege it is to be handpicked. Here's Jesus walking by and basically crying out. Matthew says, follow me. And they left all, and they arose, and they left all, and they followed the same account. And here they say, come ye after me. What a privilege it is to be handpicked by Jesus, saying, come on, come on. And you know what, let me just say this. Jesus today, he's in the calling business still. He is still saying, hey, come ye after me. Hey, church member, come ye after me. Hey, get on board, if you will. Hey, he's still in the business of calling people. These, by the way, these 12 men, they were common men, nothing out of the ordinary. They were hardworking men. They, no doubt, they supported their family. They would just work hard. That is all. You know what, let me just say, Jesus is still calling. Hey, maybe you're here today, and you're already feeling that tug in your heart. You're already feeling that little prick, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Hey, let me just plead with you. Don't resist him this morning. Hey, follow him. Maybe he wants you to be saved. Maybe you're here today. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Hey, I plead with you. Follow him. And he's saying to your heart, unsaved one, lost one, come ye after me. Come ye after me. Maybe you're here today. You're a church member. And he's tugging at your heart for something. Maybe do something greater for him. Maybe to follow him in some service. I don't know what it is. Hey, come ye after me. Hey, my friend, he is in the calling business today. You know, he may be calling you for salvation. He may be calling you today for service. He is calling for people to be set apart for the work that he has for you. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to follow? You know, sometimes I wonder if he's calling some of you teenagers, but you're turning a deaf ear on him. I wonder if he's calling your church member to do something, but you're turning a deaf ear on him. Sometimes I wonder if he just happens to be calling and he's knocking on your heart's door, but we're just not listening. That's the problem today. You know, God, I know that God wants to do a great work right here at Faith Baptist Church, and let me just step outside of that boundary. He wants to do a great work in your life, Christian. But you know what's hindering us from actually going on and having the great blessing? We're not listening. We're not listening. You know, sometimes we get so busy with our own life. And by the way, I know it's a busy life. I know, you know, we're in the midst of a working people. You get up Monday morning and you run, and maybe you've got a family to support. All the things that you have to do. But we must not get so busy for Jesus. We must not ever get so busy that we can't run to his word and walk with him each and every day. Boy, you ought to start out your day with the word of God, and you ought to make the word of God a part of your life, and you ought to go ahead and listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe move on your heart, and if he's moving on your heart, hey, follow him. That's what these men did. He may be calling a lost one to get saved this morning, but maybe you've heard this before, maybe you've heard the salvation plan before, a lost one. Hey, you know what? Have you deafened your ears to his call? I wonder if he's calling a teenager to full-time Christian service. But teenager, you've got your own plans, don't you? You've got your own life. This is my life. No, it's God's life, by the way. You've got your own desires, and every time he pricks you, you turn a deaf ear. I wonder if he may be calling a prospective soul winner to win the lost to Christ, and you're turning a deaf ear. I wonder if he may be calling a bus worker, or a bus driver, or a nursery worker, or a choir member. Maybe he's calling one to be more faithful to the church house, and be and build your attendance in church. Maybe he's calling on you to simply have a walk with God each and every day. Maybe he's calling on you to go ahead and do something, but we've got our own desires, and we've got our own, you know, we should never get to the point, this is my life. You know, but Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. You know, if you would just go ahead and you follow the Savior, let me tell you something, and let me just say this, it can be a tough road. I know it can be. We'll talk about that in a moment. I don't get too far ahead of myself. It can be a difficult road, but let me tell you something, the most pleasurable road there is and the more safest journey that you can travel this morning is following our Savior. I wonder if maybe the Holy Spirit's pricking at your heart about doing something today. But you've got your desires, you've got your life, and you say, I don't have time to give. I don't have time to go ahead and work for the master. You know, maybe it's that attitude. I can't do that, preacher. You know, I can't, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, preacher, I can't do that. You know, the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You know, that means we ought to be in church. The Bible teaches that, you know. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't agree with it. Don't take it up with me. You take it up with the Word of God. You know what? You ought to be here. You ought to desire, man, I want to be there when the church doors are open. I want to go ahead and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And by the way, you know what? You ought to come to church expecting something. You know, just come. You know, it would do us all well before we get out of our car, or maybe when we get up on a Sunday morning, or before we go to church on a Sunday night, or before we go to church on a Wednesday night. God, give me something tonight. You know, the reason why we may go away hungry, we don't come with an open heart. You know, we come, it's our duty, and praise the Lord. If that's the reason why you come and you fulfill your duty, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? You ought to come and make it part of your duty. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We don't have to leave the same way we came. You know, and the truth of the matter, 99% of the time, we choose that. You know, I went, I fulfilled my duty, and that's it. But the truth of the matter is, salvation is much more than that. You know, salvation is much more than that. You know, God wants us to grow. And the truth of the matter is, if you come and you leave hungry, the truth is, let me ask you, you open your heart. Do you ask the Lord, Lord, you give me something this morning? And I know I do. You say, well, I'm the preacher. Yeah, I need to. But the truth of the matter is, say, Lord, I want something from your word. God, I want you to burn in my soul. I want you to feed me. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it's just not that Sunday morning nugget that you'll get, or that Sunday night nugget that you get, or that Wednesday night nugget that you get. You need to have the nugget of the Word of God each and every day. You need to have the Word of God a part of your life each and every day. You know what? You need to grow thereby, if you will. Hey, you know what? Maybe he's calling you today, but we've turned a deaf ear. Maybe we've got this added, well, I can't sing in the choir. I can't go ahead and teach a Sunday school class. You know, the Bible, you know, my Bible says, and I love this verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, that word all, that's very broad when you think about it. Amen? That's a very broad word. All, I don't know. There's no limit to that. Amen? You know, and the truth of the matter is, I can do all things through Christ. You know what? God's giving you something to do. I love the verse. Oh, it just left me in Ecclesiastes. Just let me, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know, if God's giving you something to do, if God's maybe giving you a nursery job, or a choir, or a Sunday school teacher, or maybe the little puppets or different things, or whatever the case may be, if God's called you to be a husband, and you're married, you're a husband, amen. God's called you to be a wife, you're married, you're a wife. God's called you to be a dad. Hey, you know what? You ought to go ahead and give it all you got. Boy, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it without my. You know what? It's my duty to read my Bible. You know what? The more, and by the way, if the only reason why you read your Bible every day is because of duty, keep reading it. But it's a whole lot more fun. And I know this isn't the proper term, but I'm preaching, amen. It's a whole lot more gooder if you just decide, you open up the Word of God and say, okay, God, It's me and you time. Give me something. You got the precious word of God in your hands. Oh, God, go ahead and give me something. Give me something from your word. Amen. Amen. You know, but maybe we got to say, well, I can't do that. You know, my Bible says I can do all things through Christ. Hey, you know what? Question, if Jesus happened to be walking by the door of your heart this morning, and he probably will, some of you, and you came and you're expecting something and he walks by the door of your heart, the Holy Spirit walks by the door of your heart this morning and he whispers in your ear, come ye after me. Come ye after me. How will you answer? How will you answer? Will you answer like these men here? You know what? They left all. They left their ship. They left it all and said, hey, I'll go ahead and follow. If you're here this morning and he walks by, the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart right now. And he said, come ye after me. Come ye after me. Come ye after me. Come ye after me. How will you answer that call? Maybe you're unsaved. You don't know for sure you have a home in heaven this morning. And he's whispering in your heart right now, come ye after me. How will you answer that call? How will you answer that call? How will you answer determines your eternal destiny, by the way. You want to say yes to Jesus? That means salvation. That's the most wonderful gift he'll give you. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? Hey, you want to follow him in salvation, and because he'll give you that free gift of eternal life in heaven one day. Praise God. One day we will be able to go ahead and we'll be able to sup with him around the Lamb's table there. We'll be able to go ahead and sit with him. We'll be able to sit under the under Jesus. Praise God. You know the greatest thing about heaven? Not going to be my mansion. That would be nice, though. It's not going to be maybe the Ford that he'll put in my dooryard. I don't know. I think he will. Amen. It's not going to be the streets of gold. It's not going to be the gates of pearls. It's not going to be the walls of jasper. You know what the greatest part about heaven? Jesus. Boy, just think just a moment, Brother Robles, of seeing the nail-pierced hands, nail-pierced feet, the one that paid it all for you to be there. Well, that's going to be precious. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Following that Savior is worth it all. Following Jesus is worth it all, my friend. You know, if he's calling on you to be saved this morning, how will you answer? If he's calling on you to maybe step up your service for him, how will you answer? Maybe he's calling on you to go ahead and maybe be a better wife or a better husband or implement the word of God in your home, and or you walk with God personally. Maybe you've not been walking with him quite the way you should. Whatever it is, how will you go ahead and answer this morning? Would you stop and follow close to the Savior, or will you turn away from that call? This morning, I want to give you a few thoughts here, some attributes. I got several attributes here, and I'm going to try to land this thing. I know the time says 12:30. I'll promise you I'll have you out by 2:30. No, it is not 12:30. Okay? I just did not have the character to get up there this morning and change that clock. I meant to, but it slipped my mind. Amen? But anyways, no, it is 11:30. I promise you we'll get out of here on time. But I want to just give you a few thoughts here about come ye after me. You know, I want to just say this. You know, his call is a practical call. To me, you know what? When he called me, it was just like there was nothing else that I would have rather have done. It was just so easy. No, and by the way, don't misunderstand me, but you know what? When I got saved and I realized that all I had to do was place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon him, you know what? To me, that was really a no-brainer. It really was. It's so practical. You know, that call to salvation really was so practical. You know, the very fact that he made it so simple. He says that, you know, the Bible says, you know, to know for sure that you're going to heaven, you got to realize you're a sinner, realize there's a price on sin, realize that Jesus, he paid the price, and all you have to do is open your heart and simply ask him to come in. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. You know what? He'll save you. You know, it was just so practical. When I heard that, when I realized I was lost and on my way to hell, the Bible says, I'm lost without Jesus, you know, and there's no black and white here, my friend. There's no in between here. You people say, well, you know, you preach so much about hell. You know why? You know why? Because I want to warn you, there is a place. There's heaven, which is so much more glorious, but there is a place called hell. You know, the Bible's very clear about it. It is a place of fire. It is the second death. You don't want to go ahead and wind up in that place. And that's why I warn you. You know, I love you so much, and I preach about it, because I don't want you to spend eternity there. I want you to know for sure that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know that this morning. That's why I preach about it. There's no in-between. But you know what? It really was so practical. When I realized that I was on my way to hell, you know what? I realized that Jesus, he paid the price. And all I had to do was call upon him. It was just so practical for me to say, yeah. That's what I want. Let me tell you, my friend, this morning, I'm not boasting because I got God's word on him. I know that I'm on my way to heaven today simply because of what Jesus did and not me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing I could do to get me to where God is. It's only through Jesus' precious blood. Jesus said in John 14:6, and I quote, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Hey, where's the Father this morning? He's up in heaven. The truth of the matter is, God looked down, and he saw this sin-sick world, and he saw people who were sinners, and he says, hey, that is my creation. I want to create a way for them to get to where I am, this beautiful place called heaven. So he sent his only son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's a broad word as well, that's anybody, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? He made it so easy. It's practical. It's practical. And you know what? When I got saved, you know, I just looked at, you know, there was many different ways that could have gone. There's many different ways that you could have gone as well. I thank God that you're here and you're in church this morning. And a lot of you, I trust that you want to grow and you want to follow the Lord. That's why you're here on a Sunday morning. That's why a lot of you show back up, if you will, Sunday night and Wednesday night, because you want to grow and you want to continue to follow. And I trust that you're reading the Word of God throughout the week. But the truth of the matter is, it was just when I looked at other options, I could have gone ahead and just gotten saved and then just gone back to my old way. And a lot of people do that. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we ought to be desiring to grow. Salvation is much more than just going back to our old life. You know, so many people, and I'm very careful here, but there's so many people, we treat our salvation like a fire escape. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? And I believe they're saved. I'm never going to doubt their salvation. I know good people that, man, they got saved. I saw the tears, and I believe they meant it, and they're saved, and they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they never grew. And the truth of the matter is, you know, when you make that first decision, if you will, to follow the Lord, you know what, then that's when the blessings start coming. They may sit there, they wonder, why don't I get blessed? It may be simply because we just decide to stagnate, and we just decide to push away the things of God. You know, I know that preaching can be difficult, tough. You know, when I read this book as a preacher, you know what, I say, whoa, God, that was a tough one. Boy, that was tough, Lord. Whew. I know it can be. I know the Word of God can be tough. And I know that that from time to time I'll get up and I'll preach fiery messages and I'll talk a little bit about that. I won't get to that here in a moment. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? I know it can be difficult. But you know, it's for our good. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach a word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. You know, even all of us, if you will, need a little bit of rebuking from the Word of God. That's part of your growth, if you will. But we all need the exhortation. We all need to be built up in the Word of God as well. Hey, my friend, it was so practical. You know, his call was personal. Let me move forward here. His call was so personal. I think that it's evidenced in the fact that as he walked to those boats and called on these four men, he called them specifically. You know, no doubt there are other boats anchored in the harbor there. No doubt there are other people and maybe kind of down on the pier walking the docks. Who knows, whatever. You know, whenever I go to the ocean or you go to the pier and different things, you see many different boats. You see many different ships, if you will. You see fishing boats. You see people walking up and down the piers and different things. You know, no doubt there are a lot of other people maybe surrounding him. But you know what? God called these four men specifically. You know what? And there were other folks there, but he chose these four men, and he called on them personally. Boy, that's a treat, if you will. I think that is just a wonderful thing, the very fact that, you know what? He may be calling you, my friend, this morning, and he's doing it personally. He may be calling you, my friend, my dear lost friend. You don't know for sure. You're safe. You know, he may be tugging your heart right now. You know what? He's being a personal God with you right now. He's being personal. He says, I want you to be saved. I want you to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You know, I paid the price for you. And maybe you're here today. You are a Christian, but he wants a little bit more. He wants you to step forward. He maybe wants you to launch out into the deep a little bit more and trust him and by faith follow him, if you will, a little bit more. Maybe he wants you to go into service, and maybe he wants you to be part of a ministry. I don't know what the case may be, but it may be that he's just working on your heart this morning. And you know what? That's a personal work, my friend. You ought to thank God. I thank God that when I sit and listen to preaching, as I read the word of God, he's a personal God and he'll work on my heart. I thank God that we serve a personal God, and thank God that he'll call on you personally. You know, he does the same with us. The call of the Lord is a personal matter, and he calls us and he deals with us, and he does so on one-on-one. You know, his call, I think, is a pointed call. You know, in other words, you know, he's just pointing right at you saying, come ye after me. Come ye after me. I think he was doing that with these men. Hey, come ye after me, follow me. When he called these men, he finds them working. Peter and Andrew were busy casting their nets, if you will. James and John are busy mending their nets. You know, I was analyzing these two statements, casting the nets and mending the nets this week. And it seems to me what they were doing at the same time Jesus called them fit perfectly with their personalities. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into it this morning, but for instance, you know, Peter and Andrew in their ministry were constantly busy casting the gospel net. If you took a moment and you took a little while and you studied the disciples, you'd see how they were really constantly casting the net. Peter and Andrew seemed to always be preaching the fiery sermons, if you will. Go to Acts chapter 2. See how fiery Peter got. You know, Acts chapter 2. You know, and they were preaching the fire sermon, and they were witnessing to people one-on-one. They were busy casting that. But on the other hand, James and John, good, great men of God, great disciples. You know, they were more interested in mending the nets to make sure that the fish they caught would not swim away. You know, that tells me that their main emphasis was the growth of the church and the body of Christ. And I got thinking, you know, that's my desire for Faith Baptist Church, balance. You know, yes, you know, and I mentioned 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season. There's no other balanced scripture in the Bible. I think one of the most greatest scriptures that teach balance in the Bible is that verse right there. Preach the word, be instant in season. Always be ready, if you will. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. To me, that teaches balance right there for the church. Yes, we need to preach the word. We need to always be ready, if you will. Yes, we need to cast the gospel net. We need to go after people on the same side of the coin. We need to be a church that loves people. There's no doubt here this morning, there's some of you, you're torn up, aren't you? Inside, you're hurting. I know. I've caught a few of your tears this week. I know you're hurting. And may it always be said, church, yes, you may see, and let me say this, you may see here, you come to a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, you might see a couple different preachers here. Same preacher, but preaching with a different zeal, if you will. Preaching the Word of God. You know, I hope that, you know, first of all, I want you to know that I love you. I love my church. And I preach the way I preach because I do love. And you know, you may come regularly on a Sunday night and you see me a little bit more fired up. Mad at sin, mad at the devil, which we ought to be. And I do get a little bit tougher, if you will. But a lot of Sunday mornings, I preach a lot like this on loving and mending. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, you see the personalities of all the disciples, but these four men whom we're talking about, you see, you know, Andrew and Peter, they were, I think, the fiery ones. You could see them, you know, if you studied them, you see they were the ones that were just preaching the fiery message, if you will. They were going after souls one-on-one, but on the other side of the coin, there was also some men there that were concentrating on mending the lives of people, too. No doubt, as they journeyed with Jesus, going down that road, and they journeyed with Jesus, you know, how many people they came across that, yeah, they needed Jesus, and they needed the tough preaching, but you know what, they probably came across, as I do often, people that are just hurting. Preacher, I need to cry on your shoulder a little bit. Preacher, I got a doctor's report and it doesn't look good. Preacher, getting separated or my child is ill or whatever the case may be, I'm losing my job. And there's no doubt there's some of you here this morning, you just need your net mended, don't you? You need it sewed, if you will. But, you know, it's a personal call. The personal call, it's a practical call, it's a pointed call. You know, this event here describes actually the second encounter, if you will, of these men with Jesus. John 1, you can turn to this later, it shows the conversion of these same men. And here, in this chapter, they're following the call to service. But let me just say this, the first encounter is really the very most important. The first encounter, you know, John 1 alludes to the fact of how these men, they came to know Jesus, and then yes, they went ahead and they served him and so forth. They came to know Jesus, but let me say, that first encounter is very, very important. I'm talking about if you're lost and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that first encounter is very important. That is when you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And my friend, you know, God loves you. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure you are on your way to heaven, I plead with you, my friend, come and know Jesus as your Savior. He says, come. He says to these men here in Mark, come ye after me. Hey, lost one, you're here, you've got doubt, and you don't know for sure that if you were going to go to heaven. You don't know if you were to breathe that last breath, if you will. Life is so uncertain, by the way. Life is so uncertain. Talking to a man yesterday, very good friend of his, just all of a sudden passed away a few weeks ago. Saved man, I knew this man a little bit, and he was a saved man, one of the most genuine Christians in the world. But you know, here he was, this man, he was sitting down on a Thursday night, along with this gentleman that actually was my dad and a few others, sitting down on a Thursday night in his house, just talking and praising the Lord and different things. The next day, he died of a heart attack. 50-something years old. You know what? I said this. My dad called me. My mom actually called me and told me about it. And I said, you know what? That just goes to show life really is uncertain. 24 hours earlier, they were happy. They were excited. They were just talking and praising the Lord just around the coffee table, if you will. They were just talking and so forth. But the next day, this dear gentleman, he died and met Jesus, went into eternity. You know, truth of the matter is life is uncertain. And you know, the most important encounter is that first encounter with Jesus. Have you had that first encounter, my friend? Have you had that first? I mean, have you come to that point in your life that you're lost and you're on your way to what the Bible says, hell, a place that is a place of fire. But Jesus, he paid that price. And all you have to do is simply realize you're lost. Jesus paid it. You call upon him and he'll save you. Have you ever done that, my friend? Have you had that first encounter with Jesus? Of course, the second encounter, if you will, was when they just continued to follow him after they got saved. My friend, this morning, it's so very important for that first encounter. You know, getting saved, however, does not end it for us. As the Lord saves us, he desires us to move into a deeper relationship with him. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 16:24, of course, he teaches us, he wants us to become his disciples, and he's also requesting here in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, he desires us to grow. He desires us to grow this morning. I'm going to move forward to my next point. His call is a private call. Jesus passed by that day. The real call was felt, if you will, in the hearts of these dear men, of these four fishermen who left all and they followed. In their hearts was no doubt they were touched and they felt a strange power drawing them to go after Jesus. Verse number 20, the Bible says, you will notice, let's go ahead and read it. And straightway, immediately, he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the ship and the hired servants and went after them. Just picture with me a minute. Here were these men. Now, in this particular passage here, it was the men that was mending their nets. okay, busy mending the nets with their dad Zebedee and the other servants and other workers there and so forth. Then Jesus walks by, come after me, without hesitation, without any thought, without any apprehension. You know, what did they do? The Bible says, you know what? They left and, hey, Dad, see ya. God bless ya. I got to go follow the man of God. I got to go follow Jesus. I mean, to me, that would just, what? Whoa, what happened? You know, to me, that's just kind of a funny picture. But the truth of the matter is, you know, his call is private. You know, notice that they didn't go ahead and call Zebedee. He called these four men. They didn't go ahead and call the servants. He didn't go ahead and call all the host of others that they've been just kind of maybe fishing off the pier and different things that day. No, it was private and it was personal to these men right there. The call is the same with any who are called today. No one knows what is personally and privately going on in your heart right now, but Jesus does. But when you make it public, if you will, that's when people know what's going on in your life. You know, when I was called to preach, or when I got saved, I remember, you know, the preacher says, hey, Pastor, didn't call me Pastor, hey, Sean, you want to go ahead and say something? And I said, yeah, I got saved. You know what? Nobody really knew what was going on deep in my heart, privately in my heart, until I got up and made it public. You know, I was excited about my salvation. I want to tell people about it. Hey, when I was called to preach, you know what? The preacher says, hey, you want to go ahead and tell the church something? Yeah, I want to get, you know, God's called me to preach. I remember I was crying at that time. I couldn't believe God would call me to preach. Still can't believe it. Some of you can't believe it either, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know, he called me to preach, but I thank God, and I was excited about that. Hey, you know what? He's maybe making your call private, if you will, and he may want you to go ahead and, you know, let me tell you something. We have the greatest gift of all. It's salvation. Why do we just keep it to ourselves then? Why do we just go ahead and, if you will, hoard it? You know, someone cared for your soul enough to show you from the Bible how to be saved. Hey, you know what? We ought to go ahead and say, hey, God's working with you privately right now. Why don't you get up and make it public and say, hey, let me tell you something, lost one. I want to show you something from the Bible that someone showed me. That's salvation. Boy, we have the greatest gift of all in our hearts. It's Jesus Christ. And we ought to be busy spreading it. Got to be busy going out there and telling people about it. Hey, you know what? It is a private call, and then they made it public, if you will. The Lord had been dealing with their hearts of these men since Jesus first came on the scene, and I think that is why they reacted instantly to that private call. Come ye after me. I wonder what the Lord is saying in your heart right now. Hey, come ye after me, you lost one. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Come ye after me, Christian, to a service or a ministry. Come ye after me. Leave all and follow me, if you will. Is he calling you right now? Don't ignore it. Don't turn a deaf ear to him. Hey, his call was public. I kind of talked about that. I just want to say this. You know what? When I was called to preach, I was excited about that. I was, you know, at first it was, you know, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but, you know, it took me a while to really get excited. It took me quite a few years to really get excited about it. But you know what? When I was called, I just really got it. I'm just excited about being able to work for God. And you know, we all have that same privilege, by the way. You know, you say, well, I can't be full-time Christian service because I'm a layman or I'm working here. Great. But you know what? You can be busy serving God right where you are. You can have a part in the church, and you can have a part on a bus, or I don't care, whatever the case may be, you can be walking with God. Hey, you know what? We need to be busy following this call and make it public. These men were called to make a public stand for Christ. They were called, if you will, called upon publicly to line themselves up with Christ and his doctrine and the program. They were loyal to Jesus. The program that he had laid out. And by the way, they did it willingly. You'll not see them fussing. You'll not see them whining. You'll not see them, oh, that's Jesus. Go ahead and hide myself. No, you know what? They were willing to say, hey, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to leave all. And I'm going to line up myself with Jesus. And they were willing to make a public stand for Jesus. At the job site, where it's kind of hard sometimes, do you take a public stand for Jesus? Can people tell when you go about your duties and errands, and do they see, if you will, Jesus in you? You know, your life may be the only Bible most will ever read. Your testimony is really one of the greatest assets of the Christian life. It really is. And I plead with you, you know, you ought to allow that call, if you will, from salvation and others, you ought to make it public. People ought to be able to say, you know what, I see there's something different about you. You know, and I don't have time, but you know what, when I was working in Chicago and different things, and other job sites, you know what, let me tell you something. There was oftentimes, you know, I'd seen people saved in the workplace. I'm not boasting here. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm a sinner just saved by the grace of God, just like you. But, you know, I made some decisions in my life that when I was going to go to the workplace, I wasn't going to go ahead and go in the corner where they were telling the dirty jokes at lunchtime and so forth. I was going to take my stand. Let me tell you something. By the time I left a particular workplace in Chicago, I saw three men saved. And them through 2.5 years, I was three men were saved simply because, Sean, there's something different about you. You stand your ground. I had the privilege of sitting down and showing people hey, let me ask you a question. Do they see Jesus in you at the workplace? Are you willing today to make that call? You know, you're saved this morning, but you kind of apprehend. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do all that. I don't know if I can carry my Bible to school. I don't know if I can go ahead and carry my Bible to work. I don't know if I can do that, you know. Are you willing today to make that call public? And are you willing today, Christian, to line yourself up with the program of the Bible and the Word of God and Jesus? Let's save one. Are you willing to take that, make it public this morning and say, you know what, I want that Jesus he's talking about, the God of the Word of God. I want that. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Are you willing to make it public this morning? Are you willing to say, hey, today's the day of salvation? Are you willing to do that? Hey, it was a pricey call as well. I must move on. It was a pricey call. You know, the call was never meant to scare anybody. It was never meant to hurt anybody. But oftentimes, that is why we don't answer any of these calls. If I get saved, it's like we negotiate with our salvation. If I get saved, then I've got to do that. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit's there, and he'll make you want to do that. Really. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if I get saved, I got to change my friends. I got to, you know, and by the way, let me just say this. It won't happen overnight. And by the way, those who've been saved a little while, that's where we offer grace to those who are newly saved. You know, we ought to be very careful. We ought to be very, very careful, church. We have a new convert, get saved and so forth, and maybe they're not doing everything that you think they should do. Who are we to judge, by the way, number one? Let's let the Word of God do the work. Okay? But the truth of the matter is we ought to be very careful, mature Christian, to use our tongue to build these people up instead of saying, whoa, here, are you saved? Why are you doing that? We ought to be very careful about that. Very, very careful. We need to be busy. You know, all of us ought to make it a ministry to edify one another. You know, the Bible says our tongue is like a fire. It's as a fire. And it needs to be tamed, if you will. It needs to be bridled. And often that, you know what? And, you know, my mom used to teach me, if we can't say anything nice, it's better not to say anything at all. Sometimes we just have to swallow our tongue, if you will. Hey, you know, it is a pricey call. You know what? Think of these men, if you will. Think of these men. These disciples were called to make some expensive choices. They left their families. They were willing to follow the one, Jesus, and to leave their families. They left their friends, and they left their fortune. They left the life they had ever known. They were expected to trade in the certain for the uncertain. They were expected to go ahead and trade in the visible for the invisible, the known for the unknown, their ability for the inability, the possible for the impossible. These men knew their trade of fishing in side out, but were helpless when it came to doing what Jesus had called them to do. But it was by faith. They stepped out on faith. Hey, you know, when I was called to come to Carver here, I had a very comfortable position. I did. It was full-time Christian service, assistant pastor, Calvary Baptist, good-sized church in Maine, Calvary Baptist Church. You know the story, I'm not going to linger here too long. And I knew that when I got the call, it was what God wanted. I knew it. Talked to one of the ladies yesterday. She came out. I said, the past few weeks, I've heard a lot about what God is doing. I said, yeah, God has been so good. I said, God has been so good. She says, you know what? God put you in the right place at the right time. I said, I think so. I just happen to believe that. She was just so excited to see the excitement of our ladies and so forth. And that was a testimony, by the way, of our church, by the way, ladies. But you know, when I answered that call, you know, I'll have to admit, I had a little apprehensiveness there. I remember when I called back and after I'd candidated and 3 days later, Brother Joe called me and says, well, you've got the vote. I said, okay, I got to pray about it for a week. I mean, I was really taking my time. I was, I'll admit it. And I called, I said, 1 week from now, I'll call you back. Okay, called him back 1 week, gave my answer. After I said yes, hung it up. I was in my office, and I'm going to admit this. I go, what did I do? I did that, honestly. I was by myself in my office. My preacher, he knew what I was going through. He'd been there. And he took me out for lunch that day, and he says, Sean, he says, I know that you're in your comfort zone. Yeah, I am. I said, preacher, and I was crying at this time. We were in Longhorn Restaurant. I said, I am. I'm leaving my teenagers. I'm leaving you. Leaving my family. I mean, my family's in Maine. I'm uprooting my kids. I mean, all the things, all the emotions, if you will. He says, but it's time for you to go ahead and give your answers. And he says, you know what it is, don't I? I said, yeah. I said, Pastor, this is very tough. And I went back and I had cleaned myself up a little bit and I called and I did. I said, what did I do? But let me just say this today, church. And I know it's a little personal illustration, but I'm glad I did. I see bigger and better days ahead. Being a little past being personal here a moment, I'll get back on track and just set by see better days ahead. Oh, look, good days. This is wonderful. I'm having a good time. But we're just going to keep plodding forward. I'm going to keep winning the lost. I'm going to keep running the buses. I'm going to keep on keeping on. But you know, the call, of course, was pricey to these dear men. But after all, they realized the price that Jesus was going to be paying. Boy, you know, when you look at the price, listen, when you look at the price that Jesus paid, well, that's really nothing compared to, our price really is nothing compared to what he paid. You know, you think of the cross, and he left the glory of heaven for you. He left his Father, born in a manger, all that went on, the cat of nine tails, the mockery, the scourging, being spat upon, what a price he paid for you. It's a pricey call. Sometimes Jesus, my friend, he may right now come ye after me. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to follow him? I'm going to be done there. But Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees Andrew and Peter casting their nets. I don't know how long Jesus was there. I'm not sure. But we do know this. The most important call of all came from these four words. Come, ye after me. And what a life-changing event it was for these men. He went a little further. He saw James and John. A little bit different personalities. Come, ye after me, and without any hesitation, they left and they followed him. The invitation is very simple, my friend. Maybe here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. That's a great life, being saved. Maybe he's tugging on your heart. He's walked by your heart door this morning. The Holy Spirit's right there, knocking on your door. He's saying, come. Ye after me, lost one. He wants to save you this morning. He wants you to know for sure. You know, the Bible says, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He wants you to have a no-so Christianity this morning. You can know it. Before you leave this, by the way, we don't know about tomorrow. We only are guaranteed this next minute of breath. Life is but a vapor, the Bible teaches. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and maybe you're feeling it right here in your heart, come ye after me. Why don't you, in a moment, you respond to it? But Christian, maybe your Christian life's a little stagnant. It can happen. It happens to all of us sometime or another. Maybe, you know, your Bible reading's been put aside. Maybe you know, your ministry just isn't got that zap that you had. Maybe that Sunday school class or whatever the case. Maybe God just says, hey, I want you to step up and maybe join the class. I don't know what it is. They might be knocking on your heart's door and saying, hey, Christian, come ye after me. Come ye after me. How will you respond this morning? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple lesson. Boy, you make things so simple, Lord, and I thank you for that. But what a simple and practical lesson this morning about first of 12 men that was going to be called to assist Jesus in his earthly ministry. And what testimonies they had, how when ye just asked, they by faith, without hesitation, stepped out and said, I'm going to follow you. Not sure where this is going to go, but I'm going to go ahead and follow you by faith, Jesus. I wonder if there's, Lord, some lost one here today. They don't know you as personal Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, you work on their heart, and I pray that as you are asking them to come ye after me, that they'll respond accordingly. I pray, Lord, that maybe there's some Christian here today that just maybe a little stagnant. I don't know, but you know, God. And they're saying, and you're saying to them, come ye after me. I pray whatever needs to be dealt with at the altar this morning, that you do. Our heads are bowed. Maybe you're here this morning. Let me just ask you a couple questions. No one's looking around, but God and myself, no one's looking. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. By the way, if you respond with a raised hand, I will not call you by name. I will not embarrass you in any way. But maybe with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want to know. I want to have that security in knowing that I'm going to have eternal life with Jesus. And the Bible's made it so simple. God has made it so easy. Maybe your heart is being tugged at right now by the Holy Spirit, and he's asking you, lost one, come ye after me. If you're like that right now, no one's looking, would you just raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but that's me, preacher. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but that's me, okay? Okay, you may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I'm saved. Well, I'm locked into Faith Baptist Church, or maybe you're not a church member, or you want to become a church member. I don't know what the case is, but maybe you're here today and your Christian life's a little stagnant. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit right now, he's asking me, he's tugging at me, would you please pray for me? Right here's my hand. Would you say, preacher, that's me. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's tugging at me. You may put your hands down. Let me just say this. In just a moment, the pianist is going to play. First note, you raise your hand. First note, won't you come on out? And you come shake my hand. If you're unsaved, you don't know Jesus, as you just walk down that aisle, shake my hand. I'll have someone show you from the precious word of God how you could be saved. Maybe here today, Christian, you raised your hand. That was you. God's tugging at your heart. Whatever you need to respond to this morning, won't you respond? The music's gonna go ahead and play. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's stand to our feet now. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. First note of that piano. You raise your hand. You're not for sure you say, come shake my hand, and I'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. If there's other decisions, Christians, you need to make, won't you make it this morning? The pianist is going to play. That's it. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Not for sure you're saved, you come on forward. I'll shake your hand, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. That's it. That's good. Nothing to be ashamed about this morning, Christian. That's it. Good. feeling it in your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, I don't know what it is, but it's in your heart this morning. And you say, and he's saying, come ye after me. Come ye after me. That's it. Decisions are being made this morning. That one of my fine men, Brother Jim Yesikevich, could you come forward and close in prayer for us? Would you do that this morning? Thank you, brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the joy of being here this morning. Oh, Father, can it be any better than spending time listening to your word, opening the book, and Father, and just hearing what we have our problems, Father, you have the answers to. Father, we just ask that you would continue to bless the work here, Father. And Lord, we're just here to grow a church, Lord, and we all need to be into whatever job it is that you have for us, Lord. So we just pray, Father, during this week that we'll pray. We'll say, Lord, what is it that you'd have us to do? Father, we'll all go forward and do a great work here, Father. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.